Hi, this is Scott Sustacek, your host for CEO to CEO, the podcast from the CEO Roundtable. CEO Roundtable is a peer-to-peer organization that brings business leaders together to share wisdom, experience, and insights from the trenches. Today's episode is sponsored by IntroWorks, launching powerful B2B brands for more than 30 years. Learn more about them at intro.works. This is Scott Sustacek, your host of CEO to CEO, and this week I have Karen Kleinhans, who is CEO of Community Dental. Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, and again, another great guest that we've got, and we've got a big topic to cover on change and change management today, and I'm excited to talk about this because I'm also going through this in a company that I'm running, so this will be a good exchange. I want to talk a little bit about Karen's background first. Karen is CEO of Community Dental Care, which is one of the largest nonprofit dental clinics serving people on public programs via 5 clinics across Minnesota. So Karen, where are your 5 clinics?
Well, our largest is in Maplewood. We have one in Rochester and East St. Paul, in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and Buffalo, Minnesota.
Okay, so you are really spread out.
Yes, we are across the state.
And do you have plans for adding any more?
Well, in fact, we are currently expanding and relocating our Robbinsdale clinic to Crystal. It will open in July of this year, and we're looking into doing that with our St. Paul clinic.
Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
So a little bit more on Karen. You've got a master's degree in healthcare administration from the U of M, and you've spent your career in healthcare. And your background spans hospitals, health plans, physician and dental organizations, as well as now nonprofit care. Karen brings expertise to this show in strategy, new business development, operations, clinic expansion, collaborative partnerships, fundraising, and legislative advocacy. So you've got a wealth of things you can talk with us about.
At this point.
Well, Karen, what I'd like to do now is just have you tell our audience a little bit more about Community Dental Care and the great work that you do.
Great. My pleasure. I'm honored to serve as CEO of Community Dental Care, which is one of the very largest nonprofit oral health providers in the state of Minnesota. And we have about 260 employees. We employ all of our providers, of which there are over 40 dentists, hygienists, licensed dental assistants are also in the mix. And we provide comprehensive dental care to people on public programs and the uninsured. And we are always expanding. And we are always in growth mode because there is an abundance of people on public programs that just can't get access to oral health care. So that's what we do. And I joined the organization about 6 years ago. I replaced the founder, an immigrant from Thailand, who really had a heart for serving the underserved. And when she was ready to retire, the board was seeking someone who could bring the organization to kind of the next level. And so I had the honor and the privilege to join at that point and have been helping the organization just really sustain itself, grow, and just become stronger over the years.
And how do you get your message out to people that in those underserved communities that you are there to help them?
Well, it's interesting. They seem to find us.
Oh, is
and
that
there's
right?
probably a million ways that they do. But certainly many of the payers in our state cover Medicaid and Medicaid medical and Medicaid dental, and they do a really good job of making sure Medicaid enrollees know where they can go for care. And it's their job to build the network of providers, and we are one of them that has a lot of capacity, being that we have 40 dentists with these 5 locations. And we actually operate one of our clinics from 7:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night. So we are all about providing care, and there really are so many more patients that need our care than we can even accommodate. Mm. So that's part of why we're always growing. We never lack for patients. We just lack for capacity. So we're always expanding with the support of
kind
our donors.
Constant need to build more capacity.
Absolutely.
Bring more people into the organization that can help you serve out your mission.
Right.
Well, our topic today, Karen, is change management strategies and tactics. So, Karen, this is a really great story because it's an organization that obviously had a lot of growth before you got there. What were some of your challenges as you stepped in as CEO?
Thank you for that question. When I was being recruited to the organization, the board, the recruiter, the executive team all had this very strong sense of pride in what a tremendous job they had done in building this comprehensive dental provider. And I could see that. It was incredibly well done organization. But once I got inside, it became apparent that there were some really significant crises going on that were not well understood. And I'll just kind of summarize some of them. There was some pretty extreme financial insecurity. We had about $4 million in debt, and expenses were outpacing our revenues, such that each month we had a negative margin. We didn't have much money in the bank. We had about 2 weeks cash on hand, and that clearly wasn't enough. And we had a lot of high staff turnover because our wages were not at all close to market. Our IT and facility issues were disrupting business on a regular basis. And we really had some historical conflicts of interest in some decision making that just really led to some poor decision making that were kind of problems that needed to be solved, essentially. So one of the big challenges when I first came in was understanding what happened here. Like, what is the context? How did this come about that this organization with this board and this executive team with such pride and confidence had an organization that was truly in a downward spiral? And part of it was, number one, understanding for myself, but then number two, helping them understand their own organization that many of whom had been working in or serving for a number of years. So handling that sensitively was really important. And that was a lot of what I was doing in that first year, really, was tackling the crisis, or the crises, I should say, and helping shed light on what was going on.
Well, because it seems like you've got an organization that has a lot of pride and passion for what they do, right?
Yes.
And but then you're also trying to talk to them about the truths of their business, and in some cases, the bitter realities of this is where we are, right? And this is it. So here's what we have to work from. That must have been difficult.
You know, it was. And as I thought about how to talk about my journey here, one of the most important things that I think in change management is to start by building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the first several months spending lots of time with each of my direct reports and staff and the board members and outside constituents like funders and those to just build relationship, understand their understanding, and then really learn about what brought us to the position that we're in. And through that, some opportunities yielded themselves, became obvious. I felt that engaging those key constituents in understanding the issues and then figuring out solutions was sort of the key to helping the organization turn into a more positive direction.
So as opposed to walking in and just saying, this is wrong, that's wrong, fix this, change this, you started with people. And
exactly.
And got to know your people, and from there you build that baseline of, okay, now we can continue to step forward and start to face some of these issues that we have.
That's exactly right. And you really can't accomplish anything without good relationships. So building those were key.
So one of the things that you and I talked about when we met, boy, about a month ago, I think, already, a word that popped into my head as we were talking was inertia. As organizations grow and have success, they build inertia. And that can be a very positive thing as they're growing and solving challenges and moving ahead. But then you can also reach a point where that inertia can work against you in terms of what's next for the organization, or how does the organization move on from where it is. Because you've got all this inertia and all these processes and things that happen. And sometimes people know why they're doing those things, and sometimes they don't.
Right.
Like, we just do this because we've always done it this way, right?
Exactly. Or we tried that and it didn't work, so we're not doing that
right,
again.
We're never going there again. I think you encountered some of that. And so if you could share with our listeners some of those things and how you dealt with them, because I think that, to me, is the gold, right? Is how did you overcome that?
I know. I think, in addition to building relationships, is building a shared understanding of reality. So there were a lot of strongly held beliefs about the organization. We're extremely financially sound was one of them, which just was clearly not the case. But people didn't know that because the way we did financial reporting was not helping them see. So first it was, well, help me understand what our financials are. Help me understand the history of how it is that happened. And now let's figure out a way to convey this to our board, to our other executive team members, so they can really see we can't just report on revenues. We have to report on our bottom line. We have to report on our expenses. And we have to report on not just what's going well, but what's not maybe going so well. And that really was a shift in the way the information that was given to the executive team and the board. So evolving the organization towards more transparency was pretty key in helping people understand the opportunities and then work together to tackle them.
So, you know, a lot of change management to me is about communication and how you set that communication cadence. And so if you could maybe explore a little bit with us, what did you do that? How did you do it with your management team? How did you do it with your board? The previous CEO, I'm assuming, still had some role at the board level? No. But again, all these constituents to communicate with. And then it falls back on you. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is where we are. This is what we need to address. Maybe if you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I think one of the fundamental things is first identifying who your constituents are and how are they engaging and what level of information is important to them. And so, frankly, it's just a lot of time, a lot of one-on-one, a lot of group conversations, mm-hmm. a lot of asking questions and really listening with curiosity, a lot of really sleuthing out kind of what are people's values around these things, what is the organizational culture, what is the history we came from, and then what's been missing and how do we convey the realities better. So a lot of it's all that conversation, all that relationship building, but it's also the data.
Right.
Using the data to test the realities and make it apparent to people what the situation is.
So as you've moved through this and you've been in the seat a while now,
mm-hmm.
talk about some of your successes, some of the things you're most proud of as you move through the change management of, we got this done, we accomplished this, we changed this branch.
Oh, there's been so very many. I'm not even sure. Well, certainly the financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
We were, as I said, absolutely bleeding money. We had $4 million of debt. I'm super proud that now we have paid off all of our debt and we have a very positive margin.
Fantastic.
Which I'm super proud of. And in the midst of all of that, we have not only continued to deliver on our mission, but we've built upon it. We are, mm-hmm. we are better fulfilling our mission. And on top of that, we're able to make the work environment a more satisfying place for people to work. We're able to pay competitive wages. We're able to recruit and retain staff so much better. We provide more consistency in the way we operate our various locations. One of the many things I did was change the organizational structure so that we don't have 5 separate clinics operating completely independently, but in fact, they all report into a new role called Chief Operating Officer. And I found over time kind of who among my operations leads was really the one to, mm-hmm. to take on that advancement and that role, and slowly kind of gave her a few more and more responsibility until she became the operations officer for the organization and now has all operations reporting to her. So there's just been so very many changes. We had to completely redesign our outreach programs because that also was an area where we were very much overstaffed and didn't have any revenue at all for those programs, and they weren't well funded by our funders. So we decided at the board level to right-size our programs relative to funding, and that became a principle going forward. So those are just some of the things.
Well, that's a great success story, the way you've just laid that out from where you were to where you are. So congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you very much.
And so I have to ask the alternate question. Along the way, there were obviously challenges, and anytime you're implementing change, you make mistakes. And that's just part of it. So if you could talk with our audience about some of those mistakes and what you learned.
Sure. Well, I know anyone would say hindsight's 20/20.
Right, absolutely.
And the path you've taken is the one you have, so you really don't know the other path. But I would say that possibly I could have been even a little more bold with the changes. I was really careful to not disrupt the mission or the culture.
Right.
I really prioritized those things above fast change. It was well-paced change. In a crisis, you need to make change
mm-hmm.
in a very timely manner. But I was very sensitive to the people who had been there, and I didn't want to disrespect the work that had already been done,
mm-hmm.
and the people who had been there to build it. But in retrospect, possibly we could have done even better had we made a few more changes more quickly than we did. So that's one possibility. And then I think another one is building relationships. It's almost hard to do it as well as you possibly can, right?
Right.
There were plenty of constituents to build relationship with. And one of the difficult things I had to do was close a clinic in Rochester. We had one original clinic in Rochester. Then we built and opened a much larger clinic, promising, evidently, one of our funders, we would keep both of them open. And they were about 3 miles apart. And we didn't have the staff to operate either one of them at full capacity. And renting the smaller one while we were paying a huge mortgage on the other one and trying to operate it with minimal staff just wasn't practical. So we made the executive decision to close that clinic and letting the constituents know. And it turns out that's when I found out, oh, someone in the past promised this funder that we would keep this other clinic open despite opening this new one. And that was unbeknownst to me. So had I built a stronger relationship with that funder, perhaps I would have known that. I thought I was doing a really good job and a thoughtful job with regard to communication with all the constituents, but that funder got pretty upset. And I regret that. I really do.
Well, and that's unfortunate. And I think that's part of change management is that as you're going in and you're trying to listen to all these constituents and hear all the perspectives, that you do have to make a decision, and it has to be a good, sound business decision. And then sometimes you step on those little landmines that you didn't know were there, right? And,
exactly.
And those things happen. And they so, happen. And to me, it, and my guess is you probably addressed it in a very thoughtful and meaningful way and move forward. And I think that's how you do change management.
And you got to be comfortable. Some people are not going to be happy with right. the decisions that you make. But when you act with good integrity and with high conscientiousness and stick to your mission and your values, you're doing the best you can.
Yeah. And so you've said a couple of different times during this interview about mission and mm-hmm. values. And so I think, you know, you use that as your North Star as you move mm-hmm. through this. You've obviously had some great success at change management, and you've had some challenges like everyone else. But if you could just talk about how your philosophy has evolved on change management and how you think about it now, maybe versus how you thought about it 6 years ago mm-hmm. when you stepped into the role. But obviously you've come a long way and built a very nice organization.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think a lot of my career has involved change management. I tend to do roles where an organization wants to accomplish something rather significant and different than what they've been doing in the past. And I think people tend to like me to be in those roles because I'm really good at working with the various parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a really good listener, and I show people respect. And those are principles I've just carried with me throughout. And in addition to that, it's the facts. You got to get the facts in front of people. People will keep repeating things that aren't true and believe them. Because
right.
someone else said them. And
right.
the data and the facts are the most efficient way to help people understand the reality that they're in. And then you talk about options. And
mm-hmm.
you engage people in helping brainstorm options and helping shape those options and helping implement those options. And that process of engagement is the best way to do change management. That's kind of the bulk of it.
Well, and I think that's great advice. And so I want to shift now a little bit and talk about your time with the CEO Roundtable. And if you could share, this is a question I ask everybody, is talk to us about a time or a decision you made where you used the Roundtable as your sounding board, as getting input from them, getting advice, and give us that scenario and how it worked out.
Yes. Well, I have super benefited from my CEO Roundtable number 4. Everyone in that group is really brilliant and brings a great perspective and always talks from their experience and listens with curiosity and keeps things confidential, which are some of our key tenets. But I would say one of the things that I'd like to share is the fresh eyes perspective type part that other experienced leaders can really listen with curiosity, hear your context, and then give you perspective. And I remember there was a time when I had just been doing all these changes to reduce our costs, to try to get us out of this financial crisis. I took some time and did a presentation at our meeting, and everyone listened to me for about, 15 minutes or so. And then everyone gave me comments. And one person said, "Sounds like you have a revenue problem." And I had been working on the costs.
Sure.
Because everyone at Community Dental Care was convinced there was no way we could ever change our revenue, that the revenue was set. We had no way to negotiate with health plans. It just was an off the table choice. And I realized when he asked me that question, I'm like, wait a minute. Just because everyone at Community Dental Care thinks there's no way I can change this revenue situation does not mean that's true.
Right.
And so it gave me this new lens on tackling the revenue side. And I tackled it like I tackle everything. Just dive in, figure out the data, understand the levers, try to figure out where there's an opportunity, and just tackle that. And that really solved the other side of the puzzle. And in doing so, we're able to, once again, increase wages, make it a place people want to work, invest in our future, fix our IT, fix our facilities, expand to new locations, using our own resources at times, which has never been done in the past for Community Dental Care. So I am quite proud of that. And frankly, the CEO Roundtable, I would not have made all of these wonderful decisions without help and support and perspective from my Roundtable friends and advisors.
Well, and so it goes to a point that sometimes even CEOs can get myopic in how you're looking at a problem. And you're like dialing in. Suddenly someone says, "Hey, what about this? Have you thought about this?" And you're like, it's that perspective, whether you take that advice or not, but it causes you to think about it again from a different angle.
And that's it. One of the unique benefits of the CEO Roundtable is, as a CEO, I don't have very many friends who are CEOs that can give me that kind of perspective. And here I've got a whole 10 of them that can share their questions and their perspectives and their experience in a way that I just don't have any other avenue for.
Well, and I think the other thing I hear in how you describe that situation is you're using that roundtable in the right way, as you're opening up and being very candid about the challenge you have and how you see it. And that's not always easy for people to do either, is to be that open and open to constructive criticism, right, about how you're thinking about things. So that's where the real benefit is, though.
Absolutely.
I've got three questions now I ask everybody on the show. And it tells us just a little bit more about Karen and who you are as a person. Your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. I've watched a bazillion movies, as all of us have, right? And I don't have a favorite, but I do have a very favorite TV series. It's Ted Lasso.
All right.
Absolutely love that show. I'm hoping they come up with another season. I don't know if they will, but I have really benefited from that show. And during COVID, it was the bomb.
And I think it was the right show at the right time
for
people, right?
For sure.
What are you reading?
I read all the time. Lots of articles.
I'm not surprised by that.
Well, but what I don't do is read for pleasure. And I should, but I don't. But what I do for pleasure and information, because I'm kind of an information hound, is I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I love several: Freakonomics, Hidden Brain, Moth Radio Hour, This American Life, and Radiolab. And all of those I find really enriching and enlightening, and it's kind of where I learn a lot of things outside of work.
Yeah. And, the thing is, like with podcasts, there are a billion of those, right?
There
and
are.
So it's making sure that you've got podcasts in your rotation that are enriching you and giving you those things that.
And I tend to keep myself pretty busy and
pretty
high energy. So it's good for me to be able to multitask. Sitting and reading a book, if I sit down, I might fall asleep.
All right, last question. Bucket list concert.
Yes, I love music, and I grew up in Littleton, Lakewood, Minnesota, Colorado, and Red Rocks Amphitheater is a favorite concert venue of mine, and my bucket list is the Avett Brothers at Red Rocks.
Red Rocks. That's, again, that just on the last episode we recorded, same thing. They wanted to see somebody at Red Rock, so.
Yes, it's my high school graduation was at Red Rock.
Oh, wow.
It's a very special place to me.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I think we're at the end here. Okay. This has been great. So I think you've really given our audience some things around change management, that practical things that they can think about and use. I've learned some things from you today, so I appreciate that. So thank you for being on here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And I want to also thank Platinum Bank, who's a CEO Roundtable sponsor, for opening up their facilities for us to record this. So thank you, Platinum Bank. Thank you for listening to the CEO to CEO podcast, produced by Dave Swerdlick and the incredible team at Uptown Podcast Studios. You can find them at uptownpodcast.com. Be certain to subscribe so you don't miss an episode with more CEO wisdom, highlighting experience and insights from the trenches. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review and share with others. If you are a Minnesota-based business leader who would like to learn more about being part of a peer advisory roundtable, check us out at ceo-roundtable.org.